I've got a text for you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, in the light of what I've just said, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Sunday, September the 3rd, 1939. Most of us weren't born then. Perhaps some would remember vaguely. I doubt it. But Sunday, September the 3rd, 1939, failing to receive compliance of an ultimatum given by His Majesty's government to suspend Germany's attack on Poland, a state of war was declared between Great Britain and Germany. Mr. Chamberlain's statement in Parliament took just 2 minutes to make, and the war took 6 years to conclude. Very few are alive now who would perhaps remember that, September the 3rd, 1939, because you just weren't around. But I was only in napkins. How could I have been there? How could it be my war? The decision Mr. Chamberlain made to declare war was made on your behalf, your parents' behalf, the nation, the individual was at war with another nation. What he said represented everybody else. When he said, I declare war, we declare war, it included all. It's one acting and governing on behalf of everyone else. In Romans chapter 5, we have two massive giants. We have the first Adam. He had an enormous belt, and on that belt hung millions and millions of hooks. And all who were born after Adam, because he was the federal head, hung on these hooks. The second Adam was the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, has a similar, amazingly big belt with hooks hanging on it, a number which no man could number, by the way, so that those created in Adam hung on the hooks of this giant. And those who know that bright morning star shining in their hearts hung on the other. Do you understand? Is that clear? Well, that's where we're going. We're going to look at two giants this morning. Paul teaches two things. What are they? What it means to be in the first Adam, joined to him, hanging on him, if you like. And the biblical teaching of what it means to be in Christ, united to him. United to one giant and united to another. It's the biblical teaching of federal representation, of union with Christ. This doctrine needs to be preached, to be understood by, first of all, the preacher, and then those who have preached that. Let's look at these two giants. First of all, the first one. To be in Adam, united to him. Our text is in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. From verses 12 to 21, we have the two giants presented. The first Adam, the last Adam. Let's go down each column. Let's look what it's like to be united to the first Adam. What do you think? Well, he was created, and all his sons and daughters, all the nations of the world, would be hung on his belt. They were joined to him in creation. So it was his family, it was his nation, it was his humanity, and all hung upon him. We were created in Adam. Genesis 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Once created, God made a covenant. He said, this is what I'm going to do with you, and you are going to obey me. Genesis 2 verse 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat thereof you will surely die. We must assume that Adam understood what God meant, because he was representing everyone. He was aware he represented his posterity, all humanity, as the federal head. So we were all created in him and lived under the idyllic conditions. Where did they live? Where did the first great giant live? In paradise. And from that word paradise, we get our word park. I was born not too far from Kavartha Park, and everybody in Merthyr thought it was paradise, Kavartha Park. But this park had all the trees and all the fruit and everything that was needed. It was idyllic circumstances to be brought up in. But look what happened. When Adam sinned, because we hung on his belt, we all sinned. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. We were in him. When he sinned, we sinned. He represented us. And when Adam disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we did it too. But come on, I wasn't there. I wasn't even born then. And he said, I sinned when he sinned. He represented you. He represented me in the most idyllic circumstances. If I were there, I wouldn't have disobeyed God. But you said that I sinned when he sinned. The Bible says you were there. I was there. All mankind was there, represented in him. And death reigned. When somebody reigns, he rules. We've got a new king, King Charles. In a sense, he reigns. He's on the throne. And death was like that. It was sovereign. It reigned. Verse 40, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. Moses' law taught that all men sinned in Adam. Spiritual death was as spiritual without the written law as it was with it. We were there. Years ago, there used to be a historical program on BBC, black and white. And the title was, You were there. That's what's happening. Moses then taught all men sinned in Adam. And many died through the trespass of the one man. Verse 15, for if by the one man's offense many died. The word trespass in verse 15 is paratomer, deviating from the path, from the norm. The word many mustn't be interpreted as giving the impression there were many, but there were exceptions. Well, there were many there, but not all. It's not saying that. Sometimes when we calculate, we say there were many, but not all. But in verse 12 says, but the many means all sinned. No exceptions. The aorist tense is used. A once and for all occasion. This was a colossal incident. It happened once in history of humanity. And judgment followed. Verse 16, for the judgment which came down from one offense resulted in condemnation. Have you ever been to a police court? No. You've been good boys so far. Keep it up. There was a time when I only went to one court, and that was the Old Bailey in London. It was raining, so I just walked in, and the fellow says, there's a good one in court three. So I went up there, and this fellow, he was sitting down. He was the accused. Do you know what? He looked the most loneliest man I've ever seen. He stood there accused. I don't know how he got off, by the way. But he looked lonely enough as the accused. What must it have been like when he was possibly condemned and found guilty? My friends, all sinned, you're all condemned, all guilty. Judgment passed upon all men. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 18, he who does not believe is condemned already. Fancy being born condemned. We were like that. If you're not a Christian, you're condemned already. Are you aware of that? Because you hung upon the giant's belt. And we see the consequences of his disobedience of one man. Verse 19, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Adam was the pivotal character in human history, though not a lot is written about him. There's not a book of Adam. You've got the book of Genesis, but you haven't got the book of Joshua or the book of Mark. But what could be put on his CV? What could be written into his biography? Well, he married Eve. They had at least three known sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth. They had daughters. And within that first family, they married. And so the human race came into being. Adam lived until he was 930 years old. How old are you? 10. You fancy going 930 or 830? There we are. He wasn't a rapist, he wasn't a murderer, he wasn't a thief, he wasn't perverted, he never molested children, but pride entered his soul like Satan wanted to be God, so he wanted to be like God. That was his sin. And you were in his sin. If heaven demanded a CV from you this morning, what would be written on it, I wonder? Well, imagine you've been asked the question, Tell me about yourself. Well, I was created in Adam. I sinned when he sinned. Death reigned over me as it reigned over him. I died through my trespasses. God condemned me. I'm just disobedient. Yours sincerely, Owen Jones. That's all I could write about myself in the light of hanging upon the first giant's belt. Because I sinned in him. Awful. Are you still hanging on Adam? If you are, my friends, all that he was responsible for, you are responsible for. The sin that he committed, you were in it. We used to have a gang in Merthyr when we were teenagers. And we used to say, well, we hang out with one another. Are you hanging out on this first giant, the first Adam? There's no future. There's no blessed hope here. But praise God, let's go over to him. The second, the last Adam, to be united to him, to be hung out on him. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Let's get off this giant's belt and see if we can be united, joined to this giant. What's the difference? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. You're coming off this giant's belt dead, and God puts you on this giant's belt, breathes into you the breath of life, and you come alive. That's the picture. I'm glad there wasn't a second or a third or a fourth Adam. Just the last Adam. We have just the first and the last Adam. The last Adam was none other than Jesus, promised as early as Genesis chapter 2. The cynic who was asked if he believed in life after death, he replied, is there life before death? Unwittingly, he was expressing what Scripture reveals. There's no life before, because we were born dead in trespasses and sins. As we have seen that in Adam all men died. But look at the difference. Let's look at the other column now in Romans chapter 5. Let's make the contrast. The Lord, the last Adam, came as promised. In verse 14, Adam, who was a type of him who was to come, he was like him but different. He was like him but greater, better, more important. He was created by God, but this one is a life-giving spirit. He causes you and me to come alive in him. And he came, lived a life born of the Virgin Mary. We've been singing about that. You'll hear more about it as the weeks go on. He lived, he obeyed all that you and I disobeyed, the law of God. He died bearing your sin and my sin upon the cross. And God graciously took him to the grave, and he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered all that conquered you, so that you could come alive in him. We receive the grace of God in and through this last Adam. But verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense, For if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift of the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Sometimes we sit down and count our sins. Very depressing. Very negative. But you know what? The grace of God in this life-giving Jesus, this life-giving giant, all that grace superabounds. It's more than any sin that anybody could ever commit. He gives us grace. He gives us life. In verse 15, he says about sin, it abounded to many. About the grace of God, it abounded to many. It overflowed to many. Verse 16, the free gift. The free gift undeserved. Are you having anything for Christmas? Do they... Anybody coming down the radiator for you? It's difficult to come down a radiator, really. He used to come down the other way, didn't he? Are you having anything for Christmas? You're going to pay for it, are you? How are you going to get it then? How are you going to get a gift? Pay for it? No, it comes graciously. You don't work for it? Well, she said it, I didn't, but thank you for that, it's helpful. Comes down the chimney, Santa Claus. You didn't pay for it? It's a gift. What God wants to give you this morning costs you nothing. Because the life-giving Spirit has come. In the second Adam, in the last Adam, the second giant. And he wants to give you life this morning. Leon Morris says, this word grace, it points to the more than abundant supply. There was plenty of sin, but much, much more grace. Paul uses the verb to abound or superabound. Just think of the sins that you bring to Calvary. Immense. But in the light of the grace that you receive, it's minimal. Compare your sin with the grace of God. This abounds. Though guilty, we can now be justified. Because as you come to Calvary, as you were called to come to Jesus, you come in repentance with that godly sorrow that he has given you the ability to express and to know. And you come to the cross and you see that God takes your sin and lays it upon him. Lays it upon the star. And he takes his righteousness, all that he is, and places it on us. And he hangs you up on this giant's belt. Huh? Who are you hanging out with this morning? Are you still on the first giant's belt? All the consequences of sin and unbelief, disobedience, or has God taken you off the one belt and placed you on the other belt, the other giant? We're living in days of midgets, but these two giants, that one let you down. This giant will never let you down. Who are you hanging out with this morning? Death reigns over there. Death is taken away here. The curse there, blessed here. Where are you going? Are you going where all who hang out in Adam will go? Or all who will hang out in Jesus? Why did he come? He came as a life-giving spirit to give you eternal life. That life which lasts forever. We've been praying for a man this morning who died this week. Was he trusting the Savior? Well, he's living in glory.